from the series of teaching we've received so far, I know we'll leave this place better. Father, we also present ourselves this morning, even as we're about to hear another aspect of the word. May He transform us, make us a better workers in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk about something just brief, say qualifications for becoming a TCRC worker. Hallelujah. So we've heard so many things about being an excellent worker. So this one, we want to narrow it, we want to coin it, a TCRC worker. And when God created man in the Garden of Eden, He didn't just leave man like that. He gave him work to do. He said, tilt it, guard it. Okay? And likewise, God expects us to be doing something. And also in the household of God. Church, like any other organization, needs workers. Yes, we'll say we have a council president, we have the chaplain, we have other things, but we need workers. Those people cannot be the one singing, at the same time be the one ushering people into the church, or be at the technical unit. The caretaker now, or let's say overseer of the technical unit, is the vice president. Sometimes we're even required to multitask. Sometimes we cover for each other. So in the household of God, as an entity, as an organization, we need staff. But this morning, we've heard so much about what God desires of us. God does just not need a worker. A worker that will do His bidding. So if FMC Kefi will advertise for a particular job, the advertisement will not be complete if there is no requirement. And that's what makes you now look at it and feel if I'm qualified to even apply in the first place. And that's why this morning, God will not just handle anything to anybody. And this criteria were not just, we lifted them from the Bible. So someone will not say, God assess me, who are you now to say, I'm not worthy to be a worker. Hallelujah. So let's just look at what I have here. You said 30 minutes, but I'm sure in the next 5-10 minutes, I'll be out of this place. So who is a worker? We know, but for just sake of emphasis, a worker is a person who performs a job, task, or service, usually in exchange for compensation. At the end of everything, if you call someone to come and work for you, that person expects that at the end of the day, you will say, take something. Or at the end of the month, he expects you to what? Give him something. And that is what this morning, what I got from the teaching so far, is that if you must serve in the house of God, you must come with a heart of sacrifice. That is the difference. You must come with a heart of sacrifice. Sacrifice of your time, sacrifice of your resources, your relationship and other things. There are events that we probably, you know, would like to attend this morning, but we're here because we value the things of God. You know, a lot of calls, you know, this morning, but you have to sacrifice. You must, you know, come with the heart of sacrifice. So why I'm saying this is that we may not see, in quote, that compensation as a church worker. But generally, a worker say, that's why we come out every one to testify that God has blessed me with a job. Because there is a reward that comes at the end of the month. Okay, let's light. Who is a church worker? A church worker is any paid staff or volunteer who serve in a supporting ministry role to help church run effectively. Yes, in TCRC we have two categories of staff. We have those who are being given stipend. I will not call that one salary. Those who are being given stipend. And those who are just purely voluntary. Maybe if the welfare is generous enough, they will get food at the end of meeting. Hallelujah. The welfare secretary is here. Or in a meeting like this, we'll say, okay, for people sacrificing, leaving their home, some have not taken breakfast before coming here, let's make food so that it will go around, take care of the needs of people. But purely. Choir will be coming for rehearsals every Saturday. It used to be twice in a week. But now I think once, every Saturday, year in, year out, nobody is paying them. Purely sacrifice. Hallelujah. Next slide. So who is a TCRC worker? No, we have to narrow it down. We are saying this because in a month's time, we'll have new set of workers. And it is this criteria that we're going to use to say, okay, these people are eligible. These people are qualified. This person is qualified to be a church worker. And not only council members, we're talking about even groups, units. They will hold their election as soon as the council election takes place. So a TCRC worker is any child of God who, what, upon completion of a believer's foundation class, school, and on recommendation of the council or chaplain, has been set aside for special service in the household of God. When I mean special service there, I don't mean when we have maybe special unit. You belong to a special unit. You do certain special assignment, like the ushering. You usher people in, the sanctuary keepers, they're the one to keep this place set aside for a special function. So, and at the beginning of this year, I'm sure almost all of us that are seated here have gone through this foundation class, and it's deliberate. So that you know the organization you're working for. So that you know what are the ethics, what are the things that is required of you. I know the Bible is our main code of conduct. But there are doctrines, there are things that we believe, even as a chapel, that we need to know. So it's important for us. Some don't even know that we have a board. Some don't even know the offices in the council. Some don't even know the groups, though I know we do announce them every Sunday. And what role, what you need to do when you are in this situation, who to meet for a particular reason. Hallelujah. So primarily you know that you are working for God. Secondly, working for TCRC as a what visible body of Christ here on earth. First of all, your service is unto God. Your service is unto God. And that's why the two speakers that came up outlined those things, principles of excellent service. Principles. Hallelujah. So the next slide, please. This teaching is so, interrelated. The person leading the prayers touch on some of this qualification. The person that took the first message, second message, touch on them. So, but for the sake of emphasis, we must mention them again. Hallelujah. So, he who or she must, it is a must, first of all, be a born again. We're talking about vessel. If you put something precious in a dirty container, nobody will cherish, nobody wants to make use of it. You must be born again. And we're not taking that for granted as TCRC. We must be sure that you are born again. John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5. John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Do we need to even proceed? I think this is okay. Except a man be born again. So of which kingdom are you even working for? You're working for the kingdom of God. So imagine God does not recognize you as a worker. So that's why that number one criteria, you must be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must be born again. The second one, please. Yes. Say sanctified. Set apart. And the scripture there, you can read John chapter 17, verse 17, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Set aside. Set aside. You are a leader. There are certain things that we should not be mentioned among us as workers. You know, when our acting chaplain said something, he said, we are workers, so we must say some things. We must be hard on some things. You must say them loud. Hallelujah. Your life should reflect that thing, the leader, the worker that you are. You say, no, me, I'm just an usher. I'm not the chaplain. I'm not the council president. No. Every worker. Number three, say, filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is very, very important. Very important. I sat down here thinking about it. I said, what if I have a gift, maybe of knowing, of playing, I can play keyboard. And what if God is not telling me that this is where he wants me to be, to serve him in the house? So we must, beyond having the skill, beyond knowing how to do it, you must also be what? Led by the Spirit. You don't just do things. The speaker that just finished, he said, the essence of the cross is to direct us. When you are going left, your wisdom tells you this. What you know tells you this. The God will be speaking to you in a certain direction. So you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must recognize the Holy Spirit. So that's the third criteria. The fourth one is a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Someone will say, I give my offering and I give a tithe. So what is the problem with it? No. And that's why sometimes in the council, we try to start with ourselves. When we want to do something, we say, okay, we as leaders, what is our own contribution to this? As a leader, you must feel the need. So the sacrifice we're talking about is about your time, your money, your everything. Your everything. Jokingly, someone asked me that, we need a rock to fill in our technical stuff. What do you call a studio? And I said, A worker should be a cheerful giver. So start from the unit. That one was on a lighter note. But what I'm saying is that you must be deliberate. Your unit should not just be looking at the offering in the church, purse alone. And thank God for this church. What we give, maybe when you are doing your day, is something meager, but the bulk of the contribution comes from our members. And that's maturity. These are leaders. These are workers. Even when things are tight, they still want to give. And we thank God for the workers in TCRC. Hallelujah. You people are givers. Hallelujah. The fifth point. As a worker, a proven soul winner. I know we do that collectively this year. And as a church, we have stipulated time that we go out to win souls. We have the major outreach, we have the community outreach, and we have the inreach that we go out to win souls, even within the hospital. But beyond that, how many people have you spoken to as a worker? How many people have you dragged to your unit? You know, when I mean drag, I'm not saying literally pull that person. One of those days, you say, we don't have a drummer, we don't have a keyboardist. Yeah, if this person, but I think the church has grown to that level of, you know, self-sustaining by this simple method of soul winning. You can win soul to your own unit. Hallelujah. Eh? You can win soul those who are not saved. So, that one is a criteria, and I think it's important for all workers. I don't want to read scripture, but they are there for us to read. Number six, be humble. I think 2-3 weeks ago, we talked about humility. A chaplain took us and the dangers of it. A worker. I know of a governor of in this country that is an usher in the church. A governor, an usher. Do you know the protocol of seeing a governor? Then he is now the one leading you to what? Sit down in the church. How you use that opportunity to whisper some things into his ears, even if he doesn't want to listen. Hallelujah. I think in Delta State also. Yes. It's an usher. Service. You must humble yourself to serve in the house of God. Say, this one, I'm an elder now. No, children should. I remember those days. There's someone that was angry because they invited her to come for women fellowship. Say, Kai, no, to come and cook. Please to come and cook. At a certain time like that, the person was angry. Why should I be invited? There are younger. Service does not, the blessings of God does not know whether you're a child or it flows. Someone met me recently, said God said I should tell you something, and I'm not taking it for granted. He said, if after leaving office, don't leave the place of service. And just God is confirming what do I say I know, or what I'm planning. Because I know the source of my strength is in service. It's in service. So if you like, distract me when it is, except there is no way around, I must come for fellowship. It's like someone who has asthma and you are depriving him of oxygen. So service, you must humble yourself to serve. Say, you know, I'm the HOD in my department, I don't have time. You must create time for God. You must humble yourself. Hallelujah. You know, when he was speaking, he said, probably those things that we expect to see in life, we are not seeing them because we don't serve well. or we don't serve rightly. You are thinking I'm serving, but God is saying you are not serving me well. In fact, in the least, I'm not seeing your name. That's why that number one, you must be born again. Hallelujah. Lover of prayer. Lover of prayer. So that's why Monday prayer is sacrosanct. It's sacrosanct. We must. It's a must. Yes, I know we have individual prayer time every day. But as a worker, it's a must. You know, sometimes, imagine if you don't come for. There was time in this hospital. They were saying that we should do check-in time and check-out. And people were gladly doing it because they know at the end of the month, if you don't do that, your name will not be in the record. So if God should do that kind of thing, check in, check out, as a worker, may God help us in Jesus' name. Say, well behaved. Well behaved. That one is non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. And I'm not talking about in church. I'm talking about outside in our quiet time, in our places of assignment. You know, different, where we interact with friends. How can we be described? What will be the testimony? I told somebody that said, I don't like this idea of bringing someone cups to the church and they will come and be saying, hey, he's this, he's that. I'm not saying I'm dying now, but I'm saying that when it's time for me to go, please, from mortuary, let's just go to the graveyard. If you know my life, you know. So why should someone come to tell you about me so that it will change you? Or if you know me, you know me. This is my life. And I'm gone, I'm gone. Hallelujah. That's my belief. Hallelujah. Anyway. So we must be, you know, people should be able to give testimony about us. People should be able to say some things, good things about us as workers. Sometimes when we want to do things at council, we know they say, we know we have mixed multitudes. The multitude may not understand it the way workers in the church is expected to know. And that's why Jesus, certain times he will be with the crowd. Certain times he will have to pull out with the 12. Sometimes you will reduce the 12 to 3. As a worker, you should be that one that the council or the leaders can pull you. Gone are those days that we complain that gossip is too much. I believe the gossip is dying naturally. It has died. I don't believe. Maybe there are some iota, but God will help us. Hallelujah. God has helped us. And one of our teaching in our Sunday school, how to deal with gossip. So we try to identify that the person gossiping is not the major problem. It's you entertaining him that is the major problem. Because if you rebuke the person, he will not have a place to do the gossip. But we believe that he tries, because if I meet actually to tell him about something and he does not find a way to tell me that this thing I'm doing is wrong, I'll bring another one tomorrow. So one of the ways is to attack, or not attack, is to try to end it. Try to end it. So we must be people that we can be accounted for as good people. Then the next thing is giving to fasting. Prayer and fasting, usually they go together. As a church, yes. In fact, those days, we start fasting at the beginning of the year. But we realize that, how can we wait till another 24 calendar month before we fast again? So we say, no, we introduce at the middle of the year, mid-year fasting again. And I'm sure we're enjoying it. Time is coming. And again, to also, you know, sometimes when you cannot discipline yourself to do it individually, you join the collective one. Even though we are not too committed to it, but every first Monday of every month, we designate it as a day for us to fast. And I'm sure individual, you don't need to wait until there is problem. Oh, until we need our land. Oh, until they want to remove our MD. Oh, until they want to say we should stop worshiping in this place. Then we'll gather to pray and fast. Prayer and fasting is like a bank. You make deposits. Hallelujah. And as workers, you must be seen committed to it. Trustworthy. You're just like well behaved. So I will not speak much on that. People should be able to trust you. Council will give you responsibility. We should be able to go to sleep and believe that, oh, this one is a trustworthy worker. This one will deliver that work. This one, we can rest assured that that assignment will be done. That is it. That is it. A worker. You must be able to trust him with money. You must be able to trust him with money. If there is anything I get scared of, in fact, it's church money. Yes. Yes. It's not my money. So, I don't want to. In fact, if to help me not to get, put my eye on it, if I have a responsibility, I would like, okay, is this person worth this? Send your account number. Instead of money coming to the president, no, it will just go direct so that I won't say I will use it for something else, then later I will pay back. People should be able to trust you. People should be able to give responsibility and believe that these things will be done as a worker. Okay? Blameless. Blameless. We talk about it. The two speakers said that. Hallelujah. Then lastly, the person, we are going to start from, end from where we started, must have attended, must have completed. I've been disturbing the chaplain that we must repeat it for those who are missed that class. It's important for us to know, in fact, how we came about this was when someone asked a question during one of our AGM. He said, who is a member of TCRC? Who is a member of TCRC? You are here many years. You don't even know. What do we believe in? What are our doctrines? So, we have to put this together for us to understand. And every council member here went through that class. Every worker here, we gave opportunity for everyone. And if you don't, the manual will soon be ready. And the chaplain will find one Sunday or any other day and go through it again. The essence is not to stop us from being leaders. To be sure you know what you need. I'm sure those in the banking sector, I went to UBA Bank, I think yesterday or so, I saw some staff that were like errand. They have their qualification. But I think they don't just push you to start paying money. You know, bank, they don't want to miss one kobo. So those people have been working in the bank for some time. Now I saw them at the, you know what called teller. They're the one that issue money. We tell you that process of time undergo some training. So how much more of the things of God? Okay? We need to be familiar with those things and be abreast with those things. So, before I conclude, okay, in conclusion now, please, the next slide. Okay, before the next slide, we were discussing one sitting time. I think we went for a burial sometime. So we are discussing about church doctrine and ethics. So not, I'm just mentioning this church, not to, it's not good, but just for me to make emphasize on this point, that the Catholic Church is the most organized system. Not organized church, is the most organized system in the world. And I'm so happy that it is a church. But alongside, again, I'm so worried that why are other churches not emulating? In fact, they have all the records of, if you become a Reverend Father today, your name will appear in Rome. The day you die, they will scrap your name from that list. Everything is organized. They know. They know. You say, okay, we have one small parish in FMC. They know. And the Reverend Father, they know. Everything is organized. They know what they will do in 2030. And that is how a system should function. So the chapel, just like any other organization, has qualifications for service and for the smooth and orderly running of the system. Therefore, all members who desire to serve must fulfill such criteria. Thank you for listening.
Praise the Lord. So I want to thank